Welcome back in the Press Row here on ESPN 95.3. David Pascal along with Wells Guthrie. Hoping everybody out there is having a marvelous Monday and that you and your loved ones had a wonderful, wonderful weekend. Well, of course, it's a great time of year in sports. National championship game tonight. And, of course, the Masters later this week. And always a pleasure to bring on Keith Mitchell, a Press Row alum, a former Press Row co-host. Always a great guy to come along in Masters Week. He's admitted that he's one of the worst Masters analysts you could possibly have when he's not playing in it, but he's always entertaining anyway. Keith, how are you today?
Guys, I'm great. Sad I'm not in Augusta this week, but just another motivating factor to get me there next year.
All right, I've got to start off in a cordial way. This is the first time we've had you on in 2022, so congratulations on Georgia's natty.
I appreciate that. That is something that I can say very proudly in the state of Tennessee.
And I guess I saw, was it Kisner that tweeted out, you were like one of nine Georgia alums out there at the Sony Open, like watching the Bulldogs take down Bama. That had to be kind of fun.
Well, we had 10 guys playing in the Sony Open. All 10 of us made the cut. And then two former players that are still playing professionally that just happened to be caddying for us that week. So we had 12 guys from the golf team at the Sony Open that week. It was, and we all watched it together, watching the at the host hotel right at the golf course. We got a whole room all set up, plus, you know, a couple other stragglers in there. It was pretty awesome.
Oh, that had to be fantastic. All right, let's talk about you. You are 28th in the FedEx Cup point standings, which means if the season ended today, you would be part of the Tour Championship, which is pretty stout given that you've played 14 events. We're kind of deep into this season. Just how would you assess how things are going for you?
Honestly, it's been the best start to the year other than, you know, the win in 19. It's hard not to count the win, but I've had a more consistent year than 19, minus the victory. So definitely been an awesome run simply because of a lot of top 15s, which I felt like before I was kind of a feast or famine guy, and this year's definitely seeming a little bit more consistent play, which leads to a lot better result at the end of the season. And at the end of the season, if you are in the Tour Championship, which right now, you know, if it ended today, I would be, you're in all four majors and all the WGCs. So right now we're on the track to be in a pretty good place. We were really close to the Masters this year. If I had played better in Austin and won my group and potentially won a match, I would have been in the Masters this week. So I was really only like 18 miles away from being in Augusta.
That is wild. I did not realize that. And I was going to ask you that. You've always been great to come on right after you've done something incredible, like winning the Honda Classic certainly qualifies. We had you on the day after you and Rory were in the final pairing at Quail Hollow. And Keith, those are tournaments where your name's on the leaderboard, you're holding a trophy in the Honda. But like you said, I texted you a while back, you know, five top 12s in a six tournament stretch. You mentioned the consistency. What about your game has led to that?
Truly, it's been a year. Before, I always felt like putting was my weakness, so I just decided to aim at more flags, which inevitably put more pressure on my putting for par because I would miss more greens. So I've kind of, what sounds to be more conservative, which is not necessarily the case, it's just smarter and percentage based. There's a lot of stat guys on tour that kind of break down golf courses and shot dispersion and things that I had never really learned in my short career. So I sat down with one of them and kind of analyzed my game. And we truly look at a golf hole as a statistical problem instead of like, oh, this feels right, or I think I like the way this looks to my eye. And he explains it as, if you go play blackjack in Vegas, you play by the book because it gives you the best odds. You don't just like emotionally bet on a 12 against the queen because you feel like a 9's coming out. And I felt like that was a very good analogy that I was using on the golf course, which if all those things fall into your place, then yeah, you can win, which I had. But on a day-to-day basis, you'll probably lose over time. So now I'm just trying to be more consistent in that way, which gives you more chances to be at the top of the leaderboard, which therefore gives you more chances to win.
Makes sense. Makes sense. You're listening to Keith Mitchell, PGA Tour golfer, Baylor School alum. And speaking of Baylor School alums, this was the first time ever that two had qualified for the Masters. I had no idea it was so close to being three with you. But obviously, Luke's playing in it. Harris is not. Your buddies with Harris, obviously the hip labrum surgery. How bummed is he that he's not being able to play in this?
Believe it or not, I saw him this morning, and he was in really good spirits because he wasn't in pain. And so he had been playing and through some pain in his hip. And, you know, he obviously played great toward the end of last year, but it finally caught up to him. And now, you know, he's got the surgery done. He's moving better. He's swinging better. Everything feels a lot better. As soon as he can, like, walk 18 holes again and then walk 36 and then eventually 72, he'll be back. And I think he'll be back better, which is hard to believe because, you know, he was top 10 in the world, I think, at one point last year.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's going to be, you know, I think he could be easily better than that.
Wow. And, of course, that leaves Luke carrying the torch. And I know Luke was a little bit older than you at Baylor. But, you know, you're talking about a guy 17 years between Masters tournaments. It's like the second longest gap, which is just incredible. How do you think that – what do you think – you know, we had Luke right after he won the Farmers. You know, what do you think this means for him being an Augusta resident and having 17 years go by between Masters?
That is an incredible stat. I would have never, ever thought to even look that up. And the fact that it's the second longest, I would love to know who's longer.
Oh, the guy's name is – he died late last year. His name was Bruce Fleischner. He played in the Masters in 1969 and then played in it again in 1992.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
Wow. Well, I mean, that's crazy that Luke's 17 years, because if you look at Luke's talent – and I mean this in the biggest compliment as possible — he is probably one of the most talented players on the PGA Tour. And, you know, talent is a word that is used lightly. But what I mean by that is, you know, his natural athleticism, how far he hits the ball, and how his natural swing is incredibly good. You know, that's what we kind of equate to talent. And Luke's heard that his whole life, and he's honestly been fighting that as like, oh, I'm so talented, why am I not winning more? And then you put more pressure on yourself, and then it's harder to win. So the fact that Luke kind of broke that mold as a player is huge, just because it's like takes a monkey off your back, which sounds crazy to think winning on tour takes a monkey off your back. But when you have the talent that Luke has and the physical talent that he has, it's honestly like that, because he should win so much.
All right, and Keith, my Masters history as a journalist is not very impressive, because every time I cover the Masters, and it's good that I'm not this week, something like really random happens, like Danny Willett wins it or Trevor Immelman wins it. I covered the 08 one with Immelman, and one of the storylines I remember was Milton High School, three graduates, Bubba Watson, Boo Weekly, and Heath Slocum, all played in that year's tournament. How cool would it be if you guys someday, like next year, could match that or even surpass it if Jaeger gets rolling?
I mean, this was a close year. This would have been as close as possible. So if Harris's injury is progressing like it is, Luke's golf game is progressing like it is, and then I can just somehow, you know, be the just limp in as the third wheel behind those two, I'll be excited to be excited.
You've never limped into anything.
Well, you're right. I'll limp into the Masters any day. Don't worry.
You're listening to Keith Mitchell, Baylor School alum, 28th in the FedEx Cup standings as we speak. All right, let's talk about this week. What's your sense? And we're not going to hold you to this one. Obviously, the dominant story is Tiger. He's got some media sessions scheduled for tomorrow morning. We know he's played. What's your gut telling you on that front?
I think he's playing.
Wow.
I just don't think there's no reason he goes through all this and not play. Like, how many times has Tiger showed up and withdrawn before the first round? Like, never. Right? And he'll withdraw like months in advance before he withdraws the last minute. Right? Like, he's not that kind of like dramatic entry guy. He is actually the other way, which makes it more dramatic. Like, I'm not going to tell anybody I'm doing anything, and then all of a sudden I'm playing in a golf tournament in a week. You know, that's more Tiger style. So I don't see him doing all this stuff to pull out on Thursday, unless, you know, an injury comes up that we don't know about, or that just is a spur of the moment thing.
All right, Keith, give me who your pick would be this week, and give me somebody nobody's talking about.
Thomas Peters, as no one's talking about.
Mm-hmm. True.
I think he has a huge opportunity to play well. He's under the radar. No one's really paying attention to him. He's as a freak talent. He's way up there in the world rankings. The last tournament he played in was the Dell Match Play, and I think he led the field in strokes, and like if it was a stroke play tournament, and he didn't even make it through group play just because he got unlucky against his partners. So I think Thomas Peters is the guy that, like, if you want a big bet, like, again, you know, some nice odds, Thomas Peters is your guy. And then at the end of the day, it's going to be one of the big guys that's going to win. I really think so. I think it's either going to be Xander, I think it's going to be Rahm, or I think it's going to be Brooks. And the reason I say that is Xander hasn't won in a while, but game fits Augusta so well. And then Rahm is, he's number one player in the world. It sounds like a crazy thing to pick the number one player in the world, but he's number one for a reason.
Hey, well, is he number one or is Scheffler number one?
You're right. I'm sorry.
But either way, I know what you're saying. And
Scheffler's number one, and Scheffler is playing great. Scheffler will finish top 10. If you want a top 10 bet, pick Scheffler. If Scheffler wins the first time, I mean, that would be incredible. I'm not saying he's not going to. I just think that just would be so amazing, especially after the run he's been on.
All right, and Keith, we've joked before. You said when you're not playing this thing, you have a very love-hate relationship with Augusta National when you're not in it. Is that the case? How much do you think you're going to be taking in later this week?
Well, I'm leaving in 30 minutes to go to the Bahamas to go fishing, so that shows you one thing.
Is that through the week?
Yeah, there will be no Instagram, no Twitter, no Masters coverage, nothing. I'll be in a different country with no service. So that shows you my love-hate when I'm not in.
That is why you are the greatest Masters analyst ever. Calling from the Bahamas, Keith Mitchell. Listen, safe travels. Congrats on what you've been able to do. Like I said, you have been a consistency machine. Keep it up. We love having you here in Chattanooga. Thanks for your many, many visits to Press Row.
Of course, guys. I'd love to talk anytime, and hopefully I'll get the distinguished honor of being a co-host again sometime.
Absolutely. Well, we'll grab you first after you win a tournament. That'll happen first.
Is that what it takes to be co-host? Another,
you know the story there. I'm good friends with Scott Rabelais, the columnist in Baton Rouge, and you and Snedeker go straight down to play that thing in New Orleans, and heck, you're within a stroke of the lead on Sunday, and you decided like the week of that you were going to play in it, and I texted Rabelais. I was like, you know this guy co-hosted my show Monday, and he's like, give me the info. What you got? So if you had won that thing, you would have been his column that week. It would have been hilarious.
Well, that will be the next event I'll be teeing it up in, is the Zurich with Brand again, who almost won this week. So
yes, he did.
We're leaning heavy into that one.
Nice. All right, Keith, thanks again for all that you do. Safe travels and have a great week. A long
course,
way from Augusta.
Yeah, sounds good.
See all you. Right, take care. Keith Mitchell, definite friend of the show. 648-1051 is the number. You're listening to Press Row here on ESPN 95.3.